Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Vova Basra will be beginning the lower part of Daf Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, approximately 5 lines from the bottom, the last frame section that appears on the page. You notice the frame section, which of course indicates a Tanaic source, opens up with a double underlined expression. This is a series marking that is a continuation of the series that was started last time. We can revert back to our Mivneh heading, our structural note in the outside margin. These are Tzitutim, these are quotes, Mehamokher Deliel, from a previous source, which began with the words Habachor Notel Pishnaim, etc. The source that was at the beginning of the wide lines of the Gemara indicated different examples of things a Bechor gets double portion from. We're going to be focusing on the last of the examples. The source had mentioned in number 3 that he gets Ubeshevach Sheshavchu Nechosim Lachar Mises Aviyem. The Bechor gets a double portion in increased value of property, of holdings, that increased after the father's death. And the source then gave an example, Ketzad Hiniach Lahem Aviyem Pora, etc. So going on that, the Gemara that we begin with today picks up, and we begin. Hiniach Lohen Avihen Pora. The father left a cow at the point he died. Now, what was the status of the cow? So, possibility Aleph, Muchkeres Umuskeres V'yad Acherim, if it was hired out to others, in the case of Muchkeres, that's a situation where the owner, in this case the heirs, and the worker will share in any profits that this cow produces. And Muskeres is a rental, which means a fixed rate of income that the owners will receive per time that it's rented out for. If it's a weekly rental, a monthly rental, whatever the case be, that's a form of income, of increase that the heirs experience from this cow. So it was left to them in a state where it's muhkeres or muskeres b'yadachem. Oy, another example Bays, shehoisa roya be'efer v'yolda. The cow that was left to the heirs was left grazing in the efer in the fields, and it gave birth. The offspring is a form of increased profit. Bechor notel bo pi shnayim. The bechor gets a double portion of these different forms of increase. The Gemara asks on the choice of the examples. Why is it necessary to teach all of these examples when I could have easily figured one from the others? The Gemara asks, Hashto muchkeres umuskeres delav birshusa demora didu kaimo amris shakil. You're telling me the case of hired out, the two different forms of hired out, Muchkeres and Muskeres, where it's not in the possession of the owner. It's in the possession of he who is working with it or is renting it. And yet, we say, Shokil, the Bechor gets a pi shnayim of that income. Roya Be'efer, that was the Bay's example. That's grazing in the fields. It's not in someone else's possession. Mibaya, do I need to tell you that he'll get pishnayim, he'll get a double portion of that? It's more in the heir's domain than the Aleph example, the Mucheres and Muskeres. So it's poshut, it's simple that they would share, that the Bechor would get a pishnayim of that in the Roa the Afer example, where it gave birth. So the Gemara explained, Ha Komash Molon. The intent of this source is to convey the following. De Muchkeres u Muskeres, Dumya de Roya Be'efer. In order to appreciate the circumstances of the Muchkeres and Muskeres, we look at the other example that's taught in the same source, the case of Roya Be'efer, it's grazing in the fields. Ma Roya Be'efer, Shvocha de Mamelo Ka'asi Velo Ka'chasri Ba Mezoina. The nature of grazing in the fields is a type of, is a profit that comes on its own without any expenditure on the part of the heirs. It's eating from the fields, from the grass in the wilds. They, the heirs, are not expending anything on it, and the profit comes automatically. Af muhkeres muskeres, so too the example of muhkeres and muskeres. Under what circumstances do we say that the Bechor will get Pishnayim? If it's Shvacha de Mameila Ka'asi, de lo chasri ba mezoni, that the income is coming on its own, what does that mean? In a situation where the heirs are not feeding it, they are not providing food. That's the expression, de lo chasri ba mezoni, they're not spending on it. So under those circumstances where the heirs are not spending from their pockets on the production of the profit, under those circumstances, it's still associated, we'll say, with the father's estate, and hence the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. This will, of course, be in contrast to a case where property was left to the heirs, and the heirs invested from their own resources to improve the estate. Under those circumstances, the Bechor is not entitled to a pi shnayim in the increased value. The Gemara continues now at the top of Kuf Chof Dalet Omer Aleph in Bava Basra with a question, money. Who is it that holds that a Bechor will get pi shnayim in increased profits? That happened memela, that happened automatically. However, they happened after the father's demise. That itself is a bit of a chiddush. That is, that's a novel idea. One might have assumed, as certain opinions do, that pishnayim is an entitlement to the bechor. The double portion is an entitlement only with regard to properties that were actualized, that were realized in the father's lifetime, not profit that accrued after his departure. Let us glance at the topic heading before we investigate who the author of this idea is by looking at the nosei, the topic heading, Machlokes Rebbe v'Chachomim, a controversy between these two schools of thought, Rebbe versus the other Chachomim, Be'inyan Pishnayim, regarding the issue of double portion, biyachas l'shvocha de memelo, with regard to profit that accrues on its own. Lefi Rebbe, afalpi de ro'ihu, according to Rebbe, even though it's realized profit, namely it was not around in the lifetime of the father, nevertheless, b'chor notel bo pi shnayim, v'harabonon cholkim, the rabbonon disagree, because we're talking about property or profit, increased value that wasn't there at the time the father was still alive. So the Gemara asks its question on the second line in the middle, money. Who is the author of the idea that the Bechor will get a double portion in Shvocha de Memela, increased value that happened on its own without the other heirs making an investment? The Gemara answers, Rebbe he. This follows Rebbe's opinion, de Sanyo, as is found in the following source. You notice there's a frame section in the marking system. Frame sections represent Tanaic literature. The Gemara continues. Ein habachor, ein bachor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshivcho nechosim lachar mises aviyam. The opening opinion, the Tanakama, holds that a bachor is not entitled to a double portion in increased value that the property experienced after the father's death. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Bechor Notel, Pi Shnayim B'Shevach Sheshovchu Nechosim Lachar Mises Aviyam. Rebbe disagrees and holds that a Bechor is entitled to increased profit, that the property, notice the expression we've dashed underlined because of its significance, as we'll see later, that increased profit that the property produced, so to speak, even though it's after the father's death. Avol loy b'shevach shishbichu yesoimim le'achar misas avihem. However, they're not entitled, the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion in increased profit, in increased value, that is a result of the heir's input. Yorshu shtar choiv, Bechor noitel pi shnayim. If they inherited a document of collection, meaning a debt that their father had extended, a loan that their father had extended, the father did not collect it in his lifetime. The heirs inherit this collection right. So the opinion that we see here says that a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim from that. The Rashbam, Yorshu Shtar Choyv, Hainu Milve Bishtar, a loan recorded in a document. That's as opposed to a loan that's done orally without any document attesting to it. So in a milve b'shtar, b'chor notel pi shnayim. They came under muhsuk b'shtar, since the father had possession of the document, the al pi ashtar goyvenes amilve, and through the document they collect the loan. Harehu ki'ilu hashtar hishbiach, dehainu nechosim sheshovchu memela. Since through this document, they will be able to collect the debt. It's considered a profit. It's considered money accrued without their intervention. Umihu aliba d'rabbanan eino notel pishnayim. The Rashbam is kind enough to inform us that the opinion we just read regarding the Shtar Chov is not the opinion of the Rabbanan. Umaskona de Milsei, the Rebihi. That phrase that we read in the Tanaic source is only Shitas Rebbe. Only Rebbe holds by this. Vochi muchach lekamon b'shmaitin v'dafke milva b'shtar. And everything we're saying is limited to a document recorded in a loan recorded in a document. Avol milva al peh v'afilu bi'aydim kevan deleko shtora. However, an oral loan, even if witnesses were present when the loan was extended, since there's no document, umotzi lemitan parati loch, the borrower can conceivably claim I paid you back, and that's a result of another principle, the hamalves chaver bi'edim ein tzorach leforo bi'edim, that a loan extended, even though it's in front of witnesses, doesn't have to be paid back in front of witnesses. Afilu Rebbe mode, even Rebbe, who is rather extensive and benefiting the Bechor, he too will agree that the lo shokil pishnayim. Why? The ha'ein muhzokin mechov ze klal. They're not considered in holding it at all. The name that would enable us to say hanechosim shibchu me'atzma, that the property increased on its own, because we'll say what property? It's not around. Let's continue in our Tanaic source. Yotsu Alehen Shtarchoiv. The Rashbam points out, and we've indicated this in our writing between the lines, that this is a milsabapi nafsho, uledivri hakoli. This is a separate piece of information, and it's not part of the controversy between the Rebbe and the Chachomim. What's the case? Yotsu Alehen Shtarchoiv. Their father owed money. So the collectors were coming to the Asomim to pay up. Bechor noisein pi shnayim. The Bechor is expected to pay a double amount, twice as much as any one other brother. The im omar, if the Bechor declared eini noisein v'eini notel, rashoi. He makes a declaration that I have no intention of paying a double amount, nor do I have any intention of receiving a double portion from the estate. He has that ability. Mai tamayu de Rabbonan. What is the basis of the opinion of the Rabbonan that even shvocha de memela, even automatic increase, the Bechor does not, even though the property automatically increased, even so, the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion of that. Omar Kra, it's based on the Pasuk. It says, Loseis lo pishnayim. And we've dashed underlined the expression Loseis. The expression Loseis, Matona, Karya Rachmona. The Torah, when discussing the double portion of the Bechor, refers to it as a Matona, as a gift, so to speak. And we learn from this, Ma Matona Adamatya Liyodei. Just like a gift is not considered a gift until it arrives in the hands, it's in the hands of the giver. In other words, someone, it's hard to talk about someone giving a gift if he doesn't have it in his possession to give. So we say that just like a matona, until it gets to the hands of the giver, it's not called a gift. Af chelik b'chora adamatya liyodei. So to the chelik b'chora, it has to be in the hands of the no saying of the father, of the giver. If we're talking about increased profits after the father died, so we're talking about value that was never in the father's possession. Hence, the rule of pishnaim, of double portion, according to the Rabbanan, doesn't cover that kind of property, or that kind of profit. The Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe rebuts, he refutes, he offers his opinion, and in our marking system we often indicate the back and forth discussion by highlighting the names with a squiggle underline so that you see each time who the speaker is. So the Rebbe says back, Omer, Omar, Kro, Pishnayim. The Torah refers to the Chelek Bechora as Pishnayim, a double portion. Double portion means one plus one. Makish chelik b'chor lechelik poshut. The Torah wants you to compare the extra portion to the basic portion, the chelik poshut. Ma chelik poshut, just like the basic portion, afagav de lomoto liyodei, even though it has not, never arrived in the hands of the giver, as is understood that all expected profits will be shared by the heirs. Expected profits, I emphasize, are profits that were not realized in the lifetime of the father. But even so, everyone agrees that the heirs share in that. Af chelik b'chora, af agav de lomoto liyodei. So too, that extra portion that the b'chor is entitled to will share the same characteristic, that he, the b'chor, will be entitled to it, just like the chelik poshut. The Gemara asks on the Rabbonin, v'rabbonin nami hoksiv pishnayim, what do the Rabbanon do with that posuk? Answer, Hahu lemeisva le achad matzra. The use of the expression pishnayim, which serves to join together the basic portion and the extra portion, they learn from that, that when fields are being divided, let us say, for example, there are two brothers, and we have a parcel of land that has to be divided. So we will tell you that the Bechor's parcel will be a contiguous piece of property. Namely, he's not expected to take a field at one extreme and the second field at the other extreme and the Poshet, the other brother, taking the singular field in the middle, but rather he is entitled to his double portion in a contiguous fashion. Achad metzra literally means on one border. V'Rebbe nami hoksiv lo seislo. Rebbe, who said that a b'chor is entitled to the profits that the father never saw, what does he do with the expression lo seislo, which was mashma, which had the connotation that only profits that arrived in the lifetime of the father would the b'chor share in? More answers, Hahu, the Loseis Lo teaches us, Shim Omar, Eini Noitel, the Eini Noisein Rashoi. This is the basis of the right the Bechor has in his offering a disclaimer, announcing his disclaimer. We learned that from the expression Loseis Lo, that he can say, I don't want to share in the, to pay a double amount in the debts, and I also do not want to receive a double portion in the property. Before before we continue in the Gemara text, let us glance at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We have a topic heading with a structural note combined. We'll notice in the Gemara text the use of Roman numerals. So in our note, we've indicated the 1 and 2 are Dugmois, Shoinois, Shel, Shvachot, and Memela, different examples of property that increases on its own. The number 1, Kulei Alma Lo Pligi, the Bechor Notel, Pi Shnayim. In the first example, everyone will agree that the Bechor is entitled to Pi Shnayim. That everyone would mean, even the Rabbonan that we saw above disagree. They'll agree here that he is entitled to the double portion, even though it's increase that the father did not see. Number 2, the second category will be Machloikis Rebbe V'Rabbonan. Now we go back to the Gemara. Omar of Popa, Dikla V'Olim. If a father died leaving a tree, palm tree, and Olim, it got bigger. It got, the trunk got thicker. A form of increase. Or another example, Ara V'Asik Sirton. Father left property, and afterwards, after the father died, it was inundated with fertilizing material. The property increased in value with the appearance of this fertilizing material on it that happened on its own. Dekulei alma lo pligi deshakil. Everyone agrees, even the Rabbanan agree, that the Bechor gets pi shnayim. Ki pligi bechafura v'havei shovli. The Aleph example is a case of chafura, is shachas. It's a form of grass that develops into grain. In other words, grain plants in their initial stage, when they're very young, would be categorized as asev, as grasses. As it develops, so then it develops into stalks with heads of grain on it. So when the father died, he died leaving the fields with shachas growing in it. That's, as we said, the grain at a very early stage. And before they divided up the estate, it developed into stalks of grain. Another example, shlufafi vehavu tamri. Father died leaving palm trees with blossoms on it, date blossoms. In the course of time, before they divided the estate, the blossoms developed into dates. In these two examples, Rebbe and the Rabbonin disagree. The Mar Sovar Shvachot B'Meila, Rebbe holds that it's automatic increase, and as a result of that, the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. The Mar Sovar, the Rabbonin hold Ishtani, it's a different entity. It's not like the example before, let's say, where you had a tree that was thin and became thicker. Here, you're talking about blossoms that turned into something else. They turned into dates. The Rashbam at the bottom, Ishtani, Ha'esev, Lios, Chitin, as we referred to before in the case of the grains. The Shachas, at its very early stage of development, would be categorized as Esev, as grass. And in time, before they divided the estate, it turned into grains. The haprochim, the example of the dates, we talked about blossoms, liyos tamarim, that developed into dates, davidover acher, v'shem acher. It's a new entity with a new name attached to it, and as a result of that, the Rabbanon hold, the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds it's all an automatic increase, and therefore, fi Rebbe, he is entitled to Pishnayim. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, the first one on this particular daf, the diamond. We offer an explanation in the outside margin entitled here, No Same Mivneh, once again a topic heading with a structural explanation. The diamonds are Sidra Shel Piskei Halocha, HaMachriim B'Machlekes Rebbe V'Rabbonan Hanal. There's a series of legal rulings, Piskei Halocha are legal rulings, that settle or that rule on the controversial cases between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So as you notice, there are a few diamonds, and they extend till Amud Beis. Omar Rabo Bar Chana, Omar Rebbe Chia. Also, Kedivrei Rebbe, also, if a dayan, if a judge ruled like Rebbe, namely entitling a Bechor to Pishnaim of these automatic increases, then also will say, so be it. And we're not going to consider it as if he made a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, a basic teaching. In other words, it's a psak that's acceptable. It's a ruling that's acceptable. Likewise, Kedivrei Chachomim also. If the judge rules like the Chachomim, namely not entitling the Bechor to Pishnayim in these automatic increases, we'll respect that ruling as well. We might have to explain Rabbi Bar Chana's approach. Why is it also like this, also like that? So the Gemara explains misafkale. He is in a state of doubt. I halacha kerebi mechaveroi v'lo mechaverov, oi halacha kerebi mechaveroi v'afilu mechaverov. There is a doubt about how strong does Rebbe's opinion go. How far does it go? How much legal weight does Rebbe's opinion carry? Some say that when Rebbe appears against a colleague, then we will automatically follow Rebbe. But we will not follow him if he's going up against a multitude. There's another possibility that we follow Rebbe even against a multitude of opinions. That being said, we can now understand the suffix of Rabbi Bar Chana, who quoted this in the name of Reb Chia. Before we go any further, we ought to take note of another geometric phenomenon, namely the double underline, which is one of our series markings. It's explained in the note on the outside margin. The Nosei Livne, notice the double underline, Hezberim Lapsokim. These are going to be explanations of the rulings, and as you go down the page of the next several lines, you'll notice this double underline reappearing. Kayemes machlekes iamrinon halocha kerebi mechavero oi afilu mechaverov. We saw that already in the Gemara. Namely, there exists a controversy controversy surrounding how much weight does Rebbe's opinion carry. As we just saw, Rabbi Bar Chana, in the name of Priya, he is in doubt about that. Let us draw our attention just to one more marking. It was on Omid Aleph at the bottom. We used a dashed horizontal underline, dashed diagonal underline under the word Osa. Osa, as opposed to some of the other approaches that we'll see, and we'll be emphasizing them with a similar marking, and through that you'll be able to see more clearly the contrast between the different approaches. Continuing in the Gemara, on the third line from the top of Amud Beis, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, Asur La'asos Kedivrei Rebbe. Notice how that's different than the approach of Asa, that if he did it, it goes through. Why does he say Asur? So once again, you see the double underline, because this is coming to explain the Psak, as we indicated in our key in the outside margin previously. Kosovar halacha kerebi mechaveroi v'lo mechaverov. Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, holds that we follow Rebbe only when he's going up against a colleague, but not like in our case where he's going up against a multitude. Rav Nachman didei omar muter lasos kedivrei Rebbe. Rav Nachman on his own, as opposed to Rav Nachman before quoting Rav, and we've dashed, underlined the expressions Omar Rav before and currently Didei to show you the contrast. That Rav Nachman on his own holds it, that it's Mutter Lasos Kedivrei Rebbe. That it's acceptable to go like Rebbe. Kosovar, Rav Nachman himself is of the opinion halacha kerebi mechaveroi vafilu mechaverov, that the halacha will go like Rebbe, even up against a multitude that disagree with him. Omar Rava, Asur Lasois Kedivre Rebbe, V'im Asa Asui. Rava holds that L'chadchila, one should not go like Rebbe, that, but if a ruling followed him, then it sticks. Kosovar Matin Itmar. The expression Matin is found in numerous places in the Shas. We will glance at the Rashbam for his local explanation. Matin Itmar, Kach Nemar Bebeis HaMedrash. Thusly, it was stated in the base medrash, Matin Esadin Achar Divrei Chachomim Lodun Kein L'Chadchila, that the halacha ought to follow the Rabbonon if you were asking at the outset. Miu, I Ovad Kerebi Ovad, V'lo Mahadrinin Uvda. However, if a ruling was made like Rebbe, we won't retract it. V'hochi Meforshinu L'chol Matin Itmar Shebegemorah. And this is the standard use of the expression matin. And thusly it says in the Gemara Ksubas Beferush. What we've learned as far as the use of the expression matin is lefi the Rashbam, as we read inside. The Tosfos elaborates a little bit more on this in Dibur HaMaschil Mesafkalei, but for our purposes, we will use the Rashbam as we just learned. As we go ahead in the Gemara, we notice another geometric form, the triangle, forming a new series. Let us glance at the outside margin once again for a brief introduction and explanation. The triangles are Beis Girsois Basifri, two versions as found in the Medrash that covers Sefer Devarim. We will see two versions. Im maskonois shoinois. We will notice a double underline with dots in it to highlight the two different conclusions that are reached from these two different girsos. These are with we as we said im maskonois shoinois bedroshas aposuk regarding the expounding of the verse that says b'chol asher yimotze lo. Ma ze bo lema'it. The pasuk talks about a bechor getting pishnayim b'chol asher yimotze lo, and all that is found in the father's possession. What are we coming to exclude by that pasuk? We now turn back to the Gemara. Toni Rav Nachman, b'shar sifri de beirav. The expression b'shar sifri de beirav is a reference to the other midrashim, other than the Toiras Kohanim, which is a medrash on Sefer Vayikra. But when we talk about the other midrashim, the expression is Bishar Sifri de Beirav. So it's taught in there, a Tanaic source. We have two lines in a frame. Bechol Asher Yimotze Loi. That's the pasuk, as we mentioned before. Property found in the possession of the father. The Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. Prat Le Shevach Sheshbichu Yorishin Liachar Misas Avihen. We've employed some more markings. The expression Prat, we have a volcano marking around that because we'll want to contrast that with the next source. You can see at the end of the line, a few lines later, again the Prat expression, what's being excluded. And we've also employed a dotted underline under the expression yorshin. Here we're saying that the Bechor will not get a double portion in increase that the yorshin created, that the heirs made an investment and hence realized profit, that was done after their father died. Avol, the Gemara points out, however, shvach sheshibchu nechosim la'achar mises aviyem, property increase that happened automatically, that the nechosim produced, that the property produced on its own, shokil. The Bechor is entitled to pi shnayim, even though it's profit that did not exist in the lifetime of the father. It's a form of ro'ui, of anticipated but not actually realized. Umoni Rebbe hi. The author of such an idea would be Shitas Rebbe. This is the Shita we saw already on the previous Omid. Version number 2, Toni Romi Bar Chamo, Bishar Sifri de Beirav. His version of the Medrash is as follows. B'chol asher yimotzei lo, prat l'shevach sheshibchu nechosim li'achar mises avihem. The pasuk is coming to exclude from pi shnayim, from double portion, profits, increased value that happened as a result of the property themselves increasing in value. The kol shekein, and certainly the Bechor will not get pi shnayim shevach shehishpichu yorshim li'achar misas avihen. The lo shokil. The Bechor will not get pi shnayim in that. Who would author that idea? That even shevach sheshivchu nechosim, the Bechor will not get pishnayim, umoni, rabbonan hi. So, as you can see with the use of the markings, you can quickly see version 1 was a derech of learning that was lefi Rebbe, and version 2 was a derech of learning lefi the rabbonan. That all shevach, according to the rabbonan, even shevach sheshibchu nechosim, the Bechor does not get pishnayim. As we look ahead in the Gemara, once again we are meeting up with new geometric forms. We have a house form, a bow tie form. What do these represent? So let us glance at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh explanation. We have the house is encircling Deos, Shonos Shel Amoroyim Benetilas Pi Shnayim Bemilve. Different opinions of the Amoroyim regarding a Bechor receiving a double portion in debts. We've used a bow tie around the expression Liman. The Gemara will be analyzing according to whom was this particular opinion said. Birur alibo deman Rebbe o Rabbonon nemru hadvoran. We're going to want to know who is behind these Amoraic rulings. Is it Rebbe or the Rabbonon? Heora, a point of note. Yotze mikan machloikis Amoroim besoich shitas Rabbonon. There will develop a Amoraic controversy within the shitas Rabbonon. In Bechor noto pishnayim b'milva b'shtar, v'cholkin b'svora, imha denokit b'shtora keman de gavya domi. If that the fact that the yisoimim are holding on to a shtar, is that viewed as if it's considered already collected? If you say that the fact there's a shtar, there's a document present, and that makes it as if it's already been collected, so then even the Rabbonon would have no problem entitling the Bechor to receive Pi Shnayim. This analysis, or this presentation, is based on information that one can find in the Rashbam. With that in mind, we turn back to the Gemara. Oma Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. This opinion will be contrasted with the opinion of the Sholchu Mitam a few lines later. So Rabbi Yehuda or Omar Shmuel says, Ein b'chor notel pishnayim b'milveh. A b'chor is not entitled to a double portion in debts that were owed to the father that the heirs collect. Leman, according to whom is this Amoraic opinion based? He leima l'rabbonon. If you think to say that this would be the Rabbonon's opinion, not so, the Gemara feels at this point. Things might change later, but at this point, it wouldn't be necessary to teach me this according to Rabbonon. In other words, it's pretty certain the Rabbonon would hold from this. It's poshut, it's a matter of simplicity. I wouldn't need Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel to rule something like this. Why is that? Hashta shvacha di'isei birushusei. Mind you, profits and increase that are in their possession, namely, when the father died, all of the ingredients for the profit were there. Example, we had the shachas, the grasses, the young grains, if you will, the grains in their grass form that developed into stalks of grain. And even so, the Rabbonin held, even so what? Even so that it was in their possession. It wasn't something they had to go out and collect. And even so, the Rabbonin said, the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Let's read that again. The Rabbonin said the Bechor is not entitled to a Pishnayim. Milve mibaya, a loan that right now is represented only in a piece of paper, in a document. Where's the money? It's not in their possession at all. That's certainly the Rabbonin would hold that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of that. Elo? The Rebbe. We have a 1 over here because this is the first stage of attempting to reach a conclusion. Later, we may be surprised, but you'll see the Gemara will say the Olam Rabbonin. But for the time being, this ruling of Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel that the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim in a Milveh must be a Chidush, we'll say, that even Rebbe would say he's not entitled to Pishnayim. However, if you're going to say that Rebbe would agree that the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim in the Milveh, this raises a question. We have a Tanaic source that we won't have an author for. Hence the Gemara asks, the Elaha de Sanya. We have the following source that says, Yorshu Shtar Choiv. Heirs inherited a document, a bill of collection. Bechor, no tail, pi shnayim, bein, bemilva, bein beribis. A Bechor is entitled to a double portion of that debt when it's collected, whether it be a double portion in the principal or a double portion in the interest. When we talk about interest in loans, we can note parenthetically, this is when a loan is extended between Yidden and Akum. Money. Who would the author of this be? Namely, there's a source here that says a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim in the loan that's collected. Who would say that? If you told me a moment ago that Rebbe holds a Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim, and certainly the Rabbonin hold he's not, then this source is Lo Rebbe Velo Rabbonin. We'd have an unauthored source, and that can't be. Therefore, the Gemara says, Li'olam L'Rabbonon. The ruling of Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel is according to the Rabbonon. It's based on the Tanaic school of thought as represented by the Rabbonon, that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Milveh. According to Rebbe, he would get Pishnayim, and hence the source that we just read can be ascribed to Rebbe. But we asked, according to the Rabbonon, it's a matter of pshita. It's obvious that he doesn't get Pishnayim. Why was it necessary for Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel to articulate such a ruling when it's obvious? So Mora explains, v'itzdrich, it is necessary to spell it out. Salkodaito chamino, I would have thought otherwise, milveh, kevan denokit shtora, since they are in possession of a document. The father was already in possession of the document. Keman de gav yodamyo. It's to be viewed as if it's already collected. It's money in the bank, so to speak. And if that were so, then the Bechor should receive a Pishnayim. Kamash Malon, that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us, that according to the Rabbanon, even though the father and the heirs are in possession of a shtar, he does not get Pishnayim. Sholchu Mitam. Sholchu Mitam is another opinion. We will refer to them as simply Sholchu Mitam. Bechor notel pishnayim bemilve avoloi beribis. A bechor is entitled to a double portion in the principal, but not entitled to a double portion in the interest. In other words, in a loan extended to an akum, the bechor will get pishnayim in the principal. Just contrast this momentarily with the opinion we saw before from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Notice above, we had squiggle underlined the expression ein for this purpose, to point out the contrast. There we said the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Milveh. This opinion, Sholchu Mitam, holds he does get a Pishnayim in the Milveh. Leman. Maybe just one more word. The Rashbam points out that the interest is considered ro'ui gomor, is considered fully unrealized. And as a result of that, even though the Bechor can get Pishnayim in the basic, in the principal, but not in the ribis, not in the interest. Leman, based on whom is the Sholchu Mitam opinion? Ilema l'Rabbonon. If you think that that would be the opinion of the Rabbonon, not so. Hashta shvocha de'ise birshusei amri rabbanon de lo shokil. Profits that are realized on property in their possession, the rabbanon say, Bechor is not entitled to pishnayim. Milve mibaya, an outstanding debt. Would I need to tell you that? It's obvious that the rabbanon will tell you he does not get pishnayim. And we're dealing with Sholchu Mitam that holds he does get Pishnayim in the Milveh. Elo L'Rebbe. Rather, this teaching of the ruling of the Sholchu Mitam is based on Rebbe's opinion that he is entitled to Pishnayim in the Milveh. This is, of course, Rebbe that we saw before, that property increase that took place after the father's death, the Bechor is entitled to share, to receive his double portion, even in that. The Gemara asks, Ula Rebbe, Beribis Lo, if the Sholchu Mitam ruling is based on Rebbe, but the Sholchu Mitam also pointed out that there is no double portion in the interest, but according to Rebbe, that wouldn't be. The Hotanya, we have a source with Rebbe's name appearing explicitly, saying, Rebbe Yomer Bechor Noto Pishnayim, Bein Bemilva, Bein Beribis. Notice with our markings, we've emphasized with a dashed underline, Pishnayim in Ribis. So the Sholchu Mitam opinion doesn't seem to reflect Rebbe. Therefore, the Oilam Rabbanon. Notice how we've employed the one and two, as we did earlier, indicating stages of analysis. So the Sholchu Mitam opinion is within the Rabbanon. Umilve keman de gavya damya. Even the Rabbanon, who hold the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Shevach, Sheshifchu Nechosim, the milveh, the case of the outstanding debt is different, because a milveh is viewed as if it's already been collected. Certainly a milveh b'shtar, a milveh that was written out in a document that the father received in his lifetime, even though he wasn't in possession of the cash itself, since it's a milveh b'shtar, it's considered as if it was collected already. As you can see by glancing at the Gemara, just taking a look at the markings, the conclusion of the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said in the number two stage, Li'olam Rabbanan, so we have Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel holding that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Milveh within the Rabbanan. Notice the Sholchu Mitam, who said their ruling, which was the Bechor does get Pishnayim in Milveh. And within whom did they say it? Also within the Rabbanan, as you can see in the stage 2 under Sholchu Mitam, who said the Olam Rabbanan. Hence, we pointed out earlier in our introductory note that as a result of this Gemara, we're going to notice a controversy within Shitas Rabbanan regarding the Bechor getting Pishnayim in Milva, in a debt collection. The Gemara continues in the same vein. Omar le Rav Acho Barav le Ravina. Iklo amemar la asrin. Vidorish. So Rav Acha tells over. He's speaking to Ravina and says that amemar came to our town and said, ruled, Bechor notel pi shnayim bemilve, avoloi beribis. That a Bechor is entitled to a double portion in the collection of a debt in the principal, not in the interest. Omar le, Ravina, upon hearing this, points out, Nahardoi letamayu. The Nahardoi scholars are of one mindset. They follow their teaching, their principle, their ta'am. Who are the Nahardoi scholars? They include Amemar, that we just saw, and hence we circled his name, and Rav Nachman, that we will see shortly. They were from Nahardoi. It must be pointed out that we're going to learn very shortly what appears to be a machlokes, Rav Nachman and Rabba. But what we just said, Nahardoi l'tamayu, we're not saying something to the exclusion of Rabba per se, but we're simply aligning Amemar with Rav Nachman's teaching. These Rabbanan hold that in the collection of a debt, a Bechor will be able to get Pishnayim. Before we go on in the Gemara, we're going to take advantage of our Nosei heading, the outside margin. Mosayam Rinan, the Bechor, Notel Pishnayim B'milveh. We've been speaking all along the way about a Bechor receiving a double portion in a debt collection. Someone owed their father money. Father died, not having collected the debt, leaving several sons, amongst them a Bechor. We've seen opinions that said a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim in the Milveh. We're going to see a machlokes. We continue on our note. Machlokes Rabba v'Rav Nachman. E begavu hayorshim karka o begavu mois. When we talk about the heirs collecting the debt, what are they collecting? They might collect cash. They might collect land. When we talk about debts, particularly milva bishtar, when a loan is extended in a document, it creates a lien on the property of the borrower. If the borrower does not pay up cash, the lender is entitled to collect his karka, his property. He'ora, besof ha-sugya yitbarer, at the end of this sugya, it will become apparent, become clear, she'rav Rav Nachman ba'u lefarish es shitasam shel ha-shocham itam. They, Rabbo and Rav Nachman, are really going to be serving to explain the opinion of the Shochel Mitam. Desavri b'chor noto pishnayim b'milve. Ubo lefaresh mosai amrinan hachi. And they will be explaining when is it that he gets pishnayim. As we mentioned before, is it when the collection is made in the form of cash? Just like their father loaned out cash and they collect cash. Then and only then does the Bechor get Pishnayim, or alternatively, only if they collect karka, if they collect land as payment for the debt, and not when they collect cash. Only if they collect land would the Bechor be entitled to Pishnayim. The Gemara continues. As we mentioned before, Ravina pointed out that the Nahardoi Rabbonan follow the same opinion that a Bechor is entitled to collect Pishnayim when a debt is collected by the heirs. The Gemara says inside, the Omar Rabba, Govu Karka Yeshlo, Govu Mois Einlo. If the debt was collected by collecting land of the borrower, then Yeshlo, then the Bechor gets his Pishnayim. However, if the heirs collected cash, then the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. In other words, Rabba would be in effect qualifying the Shofel Mitam. The Shofel Mitam spoke in a general fashion, namely that a Bechor is notel Pishnayim b'milveh. Rabba is qualifying that. When is the Bechor going to get Pishnayim? Only if the collection is made in land, not in cash. For Rav Nachman Omar, the opposite. Rav Nachman says, Govu ma'ois, yeshlo, govu karka, ein loy. Let us glance at the Rashbam for a brief explanation of these opinions. We can find the Rashbam that we want to look at by finding the double asterisk, two lines from the bottom, Govu Karka, within Rabba's teaching. He had said that if it's Govu Karka Yeshlo, if the collection was in the form of land, then the Bechor will get Pishnayim. Govu Karka Mipal Choiv, Yeshlo La Bechor Pishnayim, the Rashbam says. Why is it? The High Karka Ishtabi Lavun Bechayov. The land in question was already the subject of a lien in their father's lifetime. It's as if the land was collateral, dummy. And it's considered, the land in question is considered as if it was in the possession of the father already, thereby entitling the Bechor to Pishnayim. Govu mo'ois ein loy. This also was part of Rabba's teaching, that if the collection was made in cash, then the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. Why is that? The milve lohoitzo nitma. When the cash was given to the borrower, it's considered spent. The money that's paid back is not the money that was given. V'hani mois achrini ninu. The money that they collect, the cash that they collect now, is different. Okiilu lohuchsuk bom avihem. Since it's new cash, and even if it were the same coins, that wouldn't make one bit of difference because of the principle of milva lohitsa nitna, that the second the milva, the loan was extended, it's considered spent. Therefore, the cash that they collect is not something that was around during their father's lifetime. And hence, the Bechor, according to Rabba, is not entitled to a double portion. With regard to Rav Nachman, there, of course, are svaras that help to explain his shita. That too is found in the Rashbam. It appears that the way the Rashbam is printed in our Gemara, it seems to be maybe out of order, but no problem. Notice on the first of the widest lines under the Tosfos, Govu Karka, and we've noted this is within Rav Nachman, Govu Karka B'choiv Milve Aviem, if the heirs collected land for the debt. What did Rav Nachman say? The Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Ein lo the Bechor Pishnayim. Why is that? Why if they collect land, does he not get Pishnayim? Demoy silveu velo karka. The loan that the father made was a cash loan. He didn't loan karka. So they're in effect collecting something the father had nothing to do with. The father loaned cash and they're collecting land. Hence no Pishnayim for the Bechor. Avol govu mois yeshlo. If they collect cash, the Bechor will get Pishnayim. Share mos hilveu v'mos chashvinon le'muchzuk alibu d'shochu mitam. Since the father loaned cash, any cash they collect reflects back onto the cash of their father, and as such, the heirs are considered the cash in question is considered something that the father was muchzuk on, was already in possession of, according to the Shochel Mitam. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.